Turning back now to God's Word, again to Psalm 119, and the verse 165 is where we want to center our thoughts upon this morning. Psalm 119, and the verse 165. And there we read these words, Psalm 119, verse 165, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Again, we're going to stand together, if you can please, just for a word of prayer as we come to God's Word. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we come now to God's Word, that you would be pleased to still us in thy presence. Lord, help us to hear thy voice. Lord, help us to know that thou art here. And Lord, help us to see thee in the Word. Help us to hear thee. Lord, we look to thee, O God, we pray. Lord, Spirit of the living God, Lord, speak to us. Fall afresh upon us. Open the Word to our hearts. Open our hearts to the Word. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. As you read the words of this verse together, you cannot help but notice and see a very calm and a very confident spirit in the life of the psalmist. When he says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, nothing shall offend them." And I'm sure that you wish you could have the same experience as David had. Because how often do we go through life and we face our lives with a lack of peace and a lack of calmness? Yes, when life's good and everything's going well, it's easy to know this great peace. Yet when life takes a turn that we're not expecting and things go the way we were not planning on, it is a very different situation. It's important to remember that when the psalmist is writing these words, that he's a man who was subject to the ebb and flow of different emotions as well. David's not writing here as some sort of stoic who seems unaffected by all that's going on around him. Does he not write about those words of feeling at the end of the earth? When he cries unto the Lord. At times when he's so downcast in soul and he can't understand it. And even when he comes to write Psalm 119, he's still in a place of affliction. He's in a place of great trouble. You see, the psalmist is not sitting here in some ivory tower, unaffected by all that's going on around him. He is in the furnace of affliction. Just look there at verse 153. He says, "Consider mine affliction." Verse 157, "Many are my persecutors and mine enemies." Verse 161, "Princes have persecuted me without a cause." He's still in the pressure cooker of trouble. He's got enemies, he's got persecutors. He's been hunted and he's been hounded. And yet, in the midst of all of that, he is able to speak these words of our text this morning in verse 165, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." David is in a dark and a difficult situation, and yet he's still able to experience this great peace. Do you know, as I look out across the congregation this morning, I know there are many hurting, many fearful, many anxious souls today. The events of the last 12 months have heightened that sense of anxiety. And yet how blessed it is to know, in the midst of it all, peace. But not just peace, great peace. You know, this verse It's very relevant. It's very relevant to us all. But I want you to see, especially today as we go through this verse, that it's very practical. Because in this verse, the psalmist tells to us how we can know and how we can experience great peace in great pain. Great peace in great pain. And that's what we want to look at today as we consider this verse together. Great peace in great pain. I want you to see, first of all, with me here, the precondition. The precondition. Now, it is possible to know great peace. The psalmist says so. But there is a precondition. Look what he says in Psalm 1 or verse 165. There's a prerequisite. He says, great peace have they which love thy law. Great peace have they which love thy law. You see, the precondition for experiencing this great peace is a love for the law of God. What's he say there when he talks about the law of God? Thy law. He's not just simply referring to the Ten Commandments. It's not just a reference to those commandments that we read of in Exodus 20. What he's referring to in the widest sense is a love for the Word of God. The books of the law. The books, the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. Those books of Moses. Those were the only books that David had. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. They're referred to as the books of the law. That's what he's referring to. And he says, great peace have they which love thy law or love thy word. You see, if we are going to experience this great peace, then we must, first of all, have a great love for the Word of God. How do we do that? How can we love God's law? Well, I would suggest to you, first of all, that we must learn the Word of God. We can't experience the blessings of God's Word if we don't learn it. And by that, I don't mean that we're to learn the entire Scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, although it is very important, of course, to memorize Scripture. That's why we teach our children in Sunday school and in the Bible club as well, the Word of God. We have memory verses. That's the importance and that's the reason of it, because it is good to memorize the Scriptures, because when you get on a little in years, it's a little harder to memorize verses of Scripture. But when we memorize them in our youth and in our early years, they stick with us. But it's much more than just learning. We must read God's Word. God's Word must be our daily manna. It must be the spiritual food to our souls. What is the Word of God? It is God speaking to us. And if we're going to hear what God has to say, that we will hear it through His Word. I'm sure you know what I mean when I say that when you come to the Word of God, and I think especially of times in great trouble and distress and perhaps even searching and seeking out the will of God, or times of sadness or times of sorrow, and you need to hear from God more than ever before. And when you hear God speak to you through His Word, it brings peace. You're troubled about something. You're unsure about something. And yet when you read the Word of God and you love the law of God, it brings great peace to your soul. You see, too often we can rob ourselves of the peace of God by not hearing the voice of God in the Word of God. Not only must we learn the Word of God, and by that I mean we should read it, but we must also live by it. Live by it. When a Christian starts to wander from God, starts to get away from God, they become miserable. They do not have the peace they once enjoyed. Because you see, when you do not live in the Word of God, you cannot know the real peace of God. Some of the most miserable people in this world today are those who have wandered away from God. And those who today are living their lives in rebellion to God's Word, doing their own thing, living their own life. What a tragedy. If we're going to know this great peace, and notice it, it's great peace, then we will know it as we love more and more the Word of God. God's book is not just a Sunday book that you take down to bring to church. God's book is the daily manna to our souls. It is our daily bread. And we must allow the Word to saturate us. We must allow the Word to master us and to guide us. Does the psalmist not say, "Order my steps in thy Word"? Order my steps in thy Word. How are we to know the leading of God? How are we to know the guiding of God? It's through the Word of God. You see, when that's our desire, and when that's our practice, then we can know this great peace that the psalmist talks about. But notice something in verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law. It doesn't say great peace have they which perfectly keep thy law. There is no Christian, no child of God, this side of eternity, that is able to perfectly keep the law of God, the Word of God. Only one has done that, isn't that? That is the Lord Jesus Christ. We can never perfectly keep the law of God. We can never perfectly keep all the demands that the Lord lays upon us. Yes, we must strive to do that. We must seek to be faithful and be obedient. But the reality is, we will fail. What the psalmist here is not talking about perfection to the law, absolute perfection to the law. He's talking about affection for the law. Love the Word of God. Too often when we do trip up in our lives, and it's those times then when we forget about God. But the Lord forgives, and the Lord is merciful, and the Lord is faithful when we confess our sins. Affection to the law of God, what is that? Well, we come back to the whole subject. What is the whole Word of God about? It's about Christ. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, what are they? They're not historical books only. They are books full of Christ. And whenever the psalmist is saying there, great peace of they which love thy law, he's saying great peace of they that love the Christ of the Word of God. How often does the psalmist talk about affection for the Word? Turn back to verse 48. Of Psalm 119. Verse 48, he says, "My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved." Verse 97, he says, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." Verse 127, "Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold." And then in the section that we've been centering our thoughts on, verse 163, He says, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. You see, here's such a depth for the love of God. That even in the hardest of situations, in the most difficult of times, he has got such a great love for God's word. We don't have time to go through it, but you go through Psalm 119. And not only does he talk about the depth of his love, he also talks about the demonstration of his love. I love thy law. Then what? In thy law I meditate day and night. He considers the word of God. He lives in the word of God. He ponders it. And you know, whenever we are in that state, we have great peace. So there is the precondition. Great peace of they which love thy law. But I want you to see in the second place here, not only the precondition, but also now the promise. The promise. Because verse 165 is a promise. He's saying you love God's law, you will have great peace. You can turn the verse around and interpret it that way as well. It means the same thing. You love the Word of God. You are in the Word of God. You will have great peace. It's a promise. How does that come about? Well, you see, as we read God's Word, as we allow our hearts to be taken up with the Word of God, what are we doing? We are aligning our lives, we're aligning our hearts to the Word of God. We're resting and we're relying on God's Word rather than our own words or someone else's words. That heart has a concern towards the Word of God and a love towards the Word of God. As we read the Word of God, we realize that He has a heart for us. That He's interested in us, that He's in control of our lives. And that heart that lives in the Word of God sees God in everything. You know, as you read God's Word, as you love God's Word, and as you live by God's Word, you get to know more about the God of the Word. And when you look at world events, and when you look at things happening across our world, you realize as you are in the Word of God that God's hand is in control of everything. Folks, if the only thing you ever listened to was the news of what, and there's no peace and you're troubled and you can't sleep and you're concerned, what does the Word of God tell me? John 10:28, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And Romans 8:38 to 39, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, or none of those things are able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That brings great peace. That while at times, yes, our peace will be disturbed, that's for sure. Yet it will never be destroyed. Does that not bring peace to your soul today? A child of God, you're forgiven. You're saved. You're on your way to heaven. You're in the Father's hand, and there's nothing able to pluck you out of His hand. Oh yes, Satan may throw his accusations at you and remind you of all your failures. But God's Word tells me I'm safe in Christ. It gives peace to the anxious soul. John, the old apostle, writing as an elder man now, he said, these things are written that ye might know that ye have eternal life. The Word of God is written that we might know that we have eternal life. You see, as we read the Word of God, as we love the Word of God, what we are getting to know is more of the Lord. And the more we get to know Him, is it not the case, the more we love Him? To know Christ is to love His Word, is to live in His Word, is to lean upon His Word.
And as we read more and more of the Word of God, we see more and more of the God of the Word. And our hearts are at peace. We see Him in everything. We see that all-encompassing view of the Lord, and that brings us peace. Verse 71, the psalmist said, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." Whenever we come through times of affliction and times of trouble, as the psalmist obviously was in, he can say it was good for me, because through it all I learned more of the Word of God. I leaned more on the God of the Word. And through that he got peace. He could see the hand of God in his trouble. He could see the providential leading of God in his life. And he knew peace. This peace which is divine. This peace that the Lord alone gives. Remember what the Lord said to his troubled disciples, "Peace I leave unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." That's the peace that the Lord desires for his people today. Peace that we find in the Word of God, when we rest upon it, when we live by it, when we lean upon it. Paul writing to the church at Rome in Romans 15 and the verse 13. He said, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. How? In believing. Believing what? Believing the Word of God. This peace comes through believing, by a faith resting on the Word of God. Great peace have they that love thy law. I want you to see something else here, not only the precondition and the promise, but I also want you to see now the product. Verse 1, 6, 5 goes on and says, "Nothing shall offend them." Whenever with this great peace we love the law of God, it says, "Nothing shall offend them." The word "offend" there means to stumble. How often we do stumble in life. How often we do fall. And those things that cause us to fall are not worth falling over or stumbling over. Earthly possessions and riches have caused many a one to stumble. The pursuit of earthly gain and popularity has been the downfall of many and downfall of many families. And yet when the child of God realizes that our earthly possessions are nothing, that we have a treasure in heaven far greater than treasure in earth, then it will cause our hearts to be at peace and not to be taken up with this world. The troubles of this world, difficulties of this world, cause many people to stumble, many people to fall. You see, the child of God who loves the law of God shall not be offended. They shall not stumble, because although the night may be dark, we know that this dark night of this old world will one day give rise to the bright dawn of the Lord's return, and so we are not in despair. And we come back, as we keep doing again and again, to this truth that the Lord wants to imprint upon the minds of His people, that we are to live in the light of the Lord's coming again. We're not to be taken up with this world, because the things of this world will cause us to stumble. They'll cause us to fear. When we see and know that one day the Lord is coming back and this world shall be no more, that brings great peace. One day Martin Luther was asked, "Luther, can you shake Rome?" The harlot sits upon her seven hills. Can you dislodge her, or can you loose the captive nations from her bonds? Luther said, no. But God can. And God did. What was he doing? He brought God into the situation. And as a result, he didn't stumble, he didn't fall. And whenever we bring God into every situation that we face, nothing shall offend us. Nothing shall cause us to fall. John Flavel, the Puritan, said that whatever be the grounds of your distress, it should drive you to God, not from God. And to be driven to God, to love the law of God, is to be filled with peace. A peace that nothing can destroy. Finally, I want you to see there is the praise here. This verse is an act of worship. You say, how? Well, he's offering praise to God when he says, great peace have they which love thy law. He's speaking to the Lord. Nothing shall offend them. Verse 166, Lord, I have hoped. He's praising God. He's offering praise to God, and he says, Lord, when we love thy law, we have great peace. Praise your name. You see, whenever we praise God, even in times of difficulty, and remember, as we pointed out at the start, the psalmist is in a time of difficulty. The princes are persecuting him. He's in affliction. He's in great distress, and yet he still has this great peace. And whenever we have great peace in the midst of great pain, our lives are full of great praise to our God. Jeremiah, in the midst of his great lament. And you know how the book of Lamentations is full of weeping and crying, often referred to as the most tear-stained book in the Bible. And yet in the period of that great pain that he was passing through, he was able to say, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions they fail not. Great is thy faithfulness. Through the midst of great sorrow, his life praised the Lord because he knew peace. The prophet Habakkuk, in that little book that he wrote, was writing in a time of great spiritual declension. Much departure from the Word of God, and he paints a scene of absolute despair and a scene of barrenness. And yet he comes to the end of that little book. He says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. What's he doing? He knew great peace, yes. But through it, he was offering praise to God. We often think of praise as something we do when we come to church. That's true. But you know, every day our lives should offer praise to God. Every day our lives should glorify the Lord. What peace. What great peace, even in the midst of great pain. Let me ask you today, do you know this peace? Oh, so many today do not know this peace. Because first of all, they have not trusted in the Lord of peace. They do not know peace with God because they're still in their sin. Oh, if you do not know the peace with God through forgiveness of sins, then you need to get to Jesus Christ today, who is the Prince of Peace. Troubled soul, this morning, run to Christ. And dear anxious, worried believer today, allow the Word of God to flood your mind with peace. Remember, God's Word tells me that we can have peace. We can know peace. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. We can know great peace. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Praise God, today we can know in the midst of great pain this great peace that the psalmist knew. May it be our experience as well, and through it may our lives praise and glorify the Lord. Let's bow in prayer. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, we come to Thee today, and Lord, we're thankful for Your mercy, for Your grace, and for Your love. We, God, realize today there is so much around us that would cause us to stress, so much, Lord, that would cause us to stumble and to trip. Oh God, we pray that You'll help us to be more and more in the Word of God. Help us to live in Thy Word. Help us, Lord, to know the peace of God, which comes from knowing the God of peace. Oh God, we pray that today You'll help us to have that greater love for Thee. Help us, Lord, to walk closer to Thee. Help us, Lord, to lean more and more upon Thee. Bless Thy Word to our hearts today. Speak to every soul, we ask. And through it all, Lord, we pray that we might seek to glorify Thy great name. Answer prayer and be with us now. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. We're going to close with the singing of hymn number 361 in your hymn book, if you have a copy with you. If not, the words will be on the screen. Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace, over all victorious in its bright increase. Perfect, yet it floweth fuller every day. Perfect, yet it groweth deeper all the way. 361. We'll keep our seats as we sing this closing hymn, please.